Where is God? It's a question often asked in frustration, and one I often hear. In my job as in hospice, I hear a lot of these, but I think we all ask them sometimes too. What kind of God would allow ... fill in the blank. How can you say God is love when fill in the blank? Why would God make fill in the blank? When will God finally fill in the blank? Or even, who can believe in a God who would fill in your blank? And so once again, God's people exist in a world of exhaustion and despair. These Israelites have dealt with wars and battles. Many have been fought, many have been lost. Some have been won. There's constant resettlement, migration, resettlement, migration, resettlement, migration. Slavery and rulers have plagued their lives, told them what they can and cannot do, who they can and cannot be, what they can and cannot, where it goes on. And even victims who have suffered and suffered and suffered have now become those who are the victimizers. Tragedy just seems to abound. So I imagine they have the same questions that we sometimes ask today. So how did we get from all of that to Jesus telling the Pharisees and us, I am the light of the world? It's a long road. But it starts in this text with Isaiah, a text that shows just a small part of this story. One where the authors, yes, plural, we can talk about that at another time. The authors are trying to help us understand that there is a future coming. There is a leader who will bring hope. And so we get these descriptors toward the end of this text. Wondrous counselor, or perhaps a being who is wise and level-headed. Mighty God, or empathy and reliability in a leader. Everlasting Father, a consistent presence from a guardian. Prince of Peace. Now, some would say that that's, you know, obvious, but just to be clear, one who rules with justice at their core. But let's not be hasty. Because so many times, and probably will happen again, these attributes have been given to humans. So many times in our history, in the history of the Israelites, we have heard it, we have seen it. In many countries around this world, we have heard it, we have seen it. But we know that our Creator is really the only one who truly inhabits these traits. And so as I was working through this text and meditating on it this week, I remembered one of my favorite monologues from Shakespeare. A quote from The Merchant of Venice. And it's when Portia is defending Antonio in court. Of course, Portia, being female, has to dress up as Balthazar because, you know, men. That's a one-word statement that needs no introduction. But she's talking to Shylock, who is the one who has demanded his pound of flesh and has come to court to demand, if you cannot repay the debt in the time and way that I have expected, despite, you know, other things, then I want my pound of flesh. I don't care where you take it from, but he gives me a pound of flesh. That's what I was told. And so in her many ways, Portia takes this moment where Shylock just let enough slip that she says, hold on, I got this. And she says, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy seasons justice. Therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy." It's a little long sometimes, but it's also so poignant, reminding us that mercy must coexist with justice. And so Jesus then, in his portion with John, which is my favorite gospel, I will admit it absolutely, to say exactly what we need to know. The one who is all of these traits that we have listed in Isaiah, that we find for ourselves and the people that we look for, now tells us, "I am here to guide, be your guide, light your way through dark times. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will walk in light of life." And Jesus showed us, too, what it looks like to lead with the true justice of God, didn't he? He had mercy for the weak, the outcast, the unloved, the tax collector, the sinner, so many more. He was the one who brought them in, who showed them that a world who had no mercy for them, there was God. So many others that we can think of ways that people were cast out, and Jesus brought them in. And it paints the picture that we have to probably step back just so we can see it fully. And my favorite quote from that segment from Portia is this sentence: "Earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy sees injustice." In other words, if we want to show God's love on this earthly plane, we must be people of both mercy and justice. When we seek for others and ourselves to be right relationship with each other and with God, by remembering that all God's created people, yes, that's everyone, are the beloved and sacred children of God. They deserve to be cared for, included, have adequate access to food and health choices, be known by somebody other than themselves, be loved, be brought in, be given a home, a place to lay their head in safety, to be visited in prison, to be acknowledged. We could keep going, but I know y'all want the cookies. So Jesus is the light of the world. And we make a choice every single day, every single encounter with others, whether or not we want to share that light as the life of this world. In this season of Advent, we'll talk plenty about preparing a way for others. We do so by seeking justice in the name of God, who is full of peace and joy and hope and love. Seems to sound a lot like that text from Isaiah when you start to think about it. Times have been rough. Even today, we can feel it. We get weary. We get tired. We turn off the news. But one is coming in the form of a child to set us free from ourselves and opposing forces. It's a time to believe, a time to prepare and to share true love for all of God's people. Amen.